Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I'd like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And before I get started today, I want to say how much I appreciate Brother Dwayne Tester coming last week and filling in for me on the radio broadcast. I was out of town, and Brother Dwayne and I, he's a good friend. We grew up together, went to elementary school together, and so we've known each other all of our lives, and I really appreciate him and the good subject he brought last week about the coins and what it says about "In God We Trust," and that's a blessing. So I appreciate him doing that. I appreciate Noah filling in as well. I want to say good morning to him. Well, he wasn't filling in. He was just here faithfully while I was out of town. So good morning, Noah. I do appreciate you doing what you do.
Good morning. No problem. We want to say welcome to all our listeners this morning, those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners. And last week I was over at the Tri-Cities Gospel Music Camp in Kingsport and got to meet some of our listeners, some of those that listen in to the Blessings of Liberty. And that was a good time. We had fun. We had what we did over there. I took my youngest daughter, and we had a camp, a music camp, and learned the shape note singing, the do re mi fa sol la ti dos. And so that was really fun, and I enjoyed it. And so that's why I was out of town. And but it's good to be back here today. I've been looking forward to it. I've been thinking about what I would deal with today. And I was reading a few weeks ago in just my daily Bible reading. I read through the Bible every year. And I come across Jeremiah chapter number 34. And Jeremiah chapter number 34, there's some verses there that caught my eye and that deal with the subject of liberty. And verse number 15, Jeremiah 34 and verse 15, verse 17, verse number 8, all have to do with proclaiming liberty. Verse number 8 said, "This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them." Now, whenever I read about liberty anywhere, but especially in the Bible, I am very interested in that. So this was from the Lord, a message to proclaim liberty unto them. And it went on down, verse number 15, I noticed over there, that it said, "And ye were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name." And I noticed over there that when it's talking about proclaiming liberty is associated with doing right. It's the right thing to proclaim liberty. I'll just study and reading over here these verses. Verse number 17, the Bible said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord." So he rebuked them because they had done wrong in not proclaiming liberty. And he goes on and says, "Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord." And then it goes on and says, "To the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." So I just got to noticing over there, and it got me thinking about all the times that the phrase "proclaim liberty" is found in the Bible. And that phrase is found several times in the Bible. Proclaim liberty. Of course, every week when we come on the air, we quote that verse or part of that verse in Leviticus chapter 25 in verse number 10, where it's talking about the year of Jubilee, and it says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. There's that phrase again, proclaim liberty. And of course, there's Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 1. Now, as I read and studied over these verses again, I was reminded of how the Lord is interested in proclaiming liberty. Liberty is a Bible message. Liberty is associated with the gospel message. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1 is a passage of scripture that is very near and dear to my heart. I would say that every preacher could go to a passage of scripture that God used to speak to them about preaching the gospel. And if I was to give that testimony and say, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart about preaching the gospel, this is the verse. I was praying and thinking and feeling that the Lord was calling me into the gospel ministry. And I remember praying. I said, Lord, if this is your will, you're going to have to show me from your word. And that year I was reading through the Bible for the very first time. As far as I know, I don't know that I'd ever read Isaiah chapter 61. But at that point in my life and at that prayer in my life, I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me if this is what you want me to do. And I read Isaiah chapter 60, and I'm looking now. I'm looking for God to speak to me from his word. And I read Isaiah chapter 60 that night, and then I turned the page, and in my Bible, at the top of the left-hand page was Isaiah 61, verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And boy, the Lord spoke to my heart from that passage of Scripture about preaching or surrendering to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I claim that verse as a personal assurance from the Lord that I'm doing what the Lord called me to do. But at the time, I didn't know this is a messianic prophecy, meaning this is a prophecy concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read and study over in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 4, and verses 17 and 18, the first message, we could say, that Jesus Christ ever preached in his public ministry was out of Luke chapter number 61, referring to himself. And he stood up in the synagogue and he turned to the prophet Isaiah, which we know is chapter number 61, and he read from those verses, verse number 1 and verse number 2, and I believe part of verse number 3 over there. But it says over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim or to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So isn't that interesting that the first public message of the Lord Jesus Christ involved the proclaiming of liberty? The Apostle Paul was interested in liberty as well. He has much in his writings to say about liberty versus bondage. And over in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 4, it said, Paul said, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There are always those that want to, after Christ has brought us from bondage to liberty, there are always those that want to bring us from liberty to bondage. Again, after you've been delivered out of Egypt and set free by the blood of Christ, there are those that want to take you back down into Egypt, and speaking metaphorically here, and put you into bondage again. Paul said you better watch about those people that want to take away or spy out your liberty and put you back into bondage. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So Paul has a great deal to say about liberty. The Apostle Peter had something to say about liberty. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible said, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." So the Apostle Peter, he is warning, well, you better watch your liberty. You'd better guard your liberty, because there's always somebody that wants to place you back into bondage. And I say that this morning to say this, that liberty is central to the message of the gospel. It is very significant that the first time the Lord Jesus Christ stood and preached, taught, and you find that in Luke chapter 4, verses 17, beginning in verse number 17, that his message was centered upon proclaiming liberty. Liberty is central to the gospel message. You find that easily in the Bible. Now, many deny the influence of Christianity in America. They would say that that Christianity, that the Bible, has no place in the founding of our nation. But I would ask them the question today, how would you explain that liberty is not only central to the gospel message, but liberty is also essential to America? What do you mean by that? What am I saying? I'm saying today that liberty is America. And if you take liberty away from America, then we are no different than any other country in the world. The very fact of liberty and the great abundance of references to and the importance of liberty in America is what sets us apart and makes us different from every other nation in the world. And you take liberty away, well, we're just Canada. We are just England. We're no different than any other nation. Democratically, that's a phrase like that people like to use. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. But we'd be just like any other nation in the world. Look at our history. I quote every week Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That verse is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell, which sets in Independence Hall, liberty, freedom, independence, all those things go together there. There is in New York City, I would say it's the number one tourist attraction for anybody in that area of the country. If I went to New York City, you know what I would like to see? I would like to see the Statue of Liberty. Liberty is America. It is central to all the important fundamental things that we believe in America. I went last week over and drove through Elizabethan, and they have an outdoor drama the last three weekends in July. I just seen a sign. I don't know anything about it, but I just seen the signs advertising this. But they have an outdoor drama, and what caught my eye was the big words, Liberty. And it's dealing with the history of that area of our nation. Liberty. You drive around, you're going to see Liberty Drive, Liberty Hill, schools that have the word liberty in them. I mean, on and on and on. If you go right up here to Boone and over the weekend, you go and watch Horn in the West. That's another outdoor drama. You know what? You go up to the Heritage Museum up there and look through it, you're going to find a central theme: liberty. That's what it's about. That's what our country is about. The liberty is central to the gospel message, and liberty is central to the message of America. And you take liberty away from America, and we are no different than any other country in the world. I pulled a quarter out of my pocket this morning, just looking at it, rolling it over. Brother Duane, last week, he talked about on our coins, it says, "In God we trust." You know what other word is on our coins? Right across from, this is a quarter. This is one of the commemorative quarters, but like you'd go to and use today. We're not talking about something from the 1800s, but just pull a quarter out of your pocket. Right across from where it says, "In God we trust," you know what it says on the other side? It says, "Liberty." Just that little word right there, all by itself, no explanation whatsoever. It just says, "Liberty." America is what liberty, or liberty is what America is all about. You take away the liberty, and you just have like any other country. I'm telling you, liberty is central to what America is all about. It's on the nickels. It's on the dimes. It's on the pennies. You look at our founding documents of our country. You know what sets it apart and makes it different from other nations is the consumption of the subject of liberty. I mean, we're consumed. You would think, if you studied, if you came to America from another country, you would think we were consumed with liberty. Well, we are. That's what makes America America, is this little word, which is a Bible word first, this little word called liberty. I was reading again in the Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph. I quote this quite often. I think more people need to know what our founding documents say. But the second paragraph of the Declaration to Independence, or of Independence, says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And then it says this, "That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Now, everybody is familiar with this life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then right after that, talking about our government, this is the Declaration of Independence. This is the foundation for all that we know about America, or the founding document. It's been referred to as the birth certificate of America. And right after that, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it said that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That to secure these rights. Do you know the primary purpose of government is to secure these rights? It is to secure these unalienable, God-given rights that we have, and first and foremost among them is life and liberty. What is life without liberty anyway? It's bondage. It's a slave. It's to be in bondage to another. These rights do not come from government, but the very purpose of government is to secure these rights, to make sure that these rights are not infringed upon. That is the primary purpose of government, not to hand out welfare checks, not to tax us to death, not to, there's a whole lot of things that government does that is outside the primary purpose of government. Primary purpose number one is to secure these rights, not to infringe our liberties, but to secure our liberties. I'm sure most everybody has heard about the recent IRS scandals that's been going on. I don't know who would be surprised. I was not surprised when I heard that the IRS was scrutinizing, was against doing things against the conservative, the Tea Party, and things like this, making it hard on them to get their tax-exempt status, and making them jump over hurdles and jump through loops. Who was surprised by that? Well, evidently some people were surprised to find out that the IRS is targeting these conservative groups. And the leaders, some of the people that were held responsible or supposedly being held responsible, this Danny Werfel, he's the acting IRS commissioner. I think he's the new one. The other one they dismissed, fired. He's gone now. But, well, they stood up there and they took an oath and they testified before Congress, and they all pretty much said the same thing. We didn't do anything unlawful. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do anything that we're not. How can they do that? How can they say that with a straight face? Well, they can say that with a straight face because, according to IRS policy, they probably didn't do anything that wasn't outlined as their job to be doing. The U.S. Journal, that's a conservative newspaper. I've had them on here before, and it's a wonderful newspaper. It's a good conservative newspaper. But anyway, there was an article this past month, July, the July issue, and there was an article by Ron Paul, and the name of that article was "The IRS's Job Is to Violate Our Liberties." That's what is their job to do. So they just stood up there and testified to Congress. Well, we were just doing our job. You know, I used to be one of these naive American citizens that would say, well, now they can't do that. The IRS can't do that. They wouldn't do that. Or people say this sometimes about, oh, the government listening to your phone conversations, or going through the airport and the TSA putting you through a naked body scanner, or frisking you, or, you know, any of these things that violate the Fourth Amendment to the Bill of Rights, or the First Amendment. They people say this. They say, well, so what if they watch me? I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, I can tell you by personal experience and by the experiences of other people that I know that the IRS, the government, the state of North Carolina, the courthouse in your town, wherever you live, they can pretty much do anything they want to do to you. And what is more shocking than that, they can get away with doing about anything they want to do to you. They can spy on you. They can get in your bank account. They can ruin your life. They can ruin your life by accident. I went down here the other day to the drugstore to get some Claritin D, you know, where you have to go and sign a piece of paper like a criminal. And, of course, we got a good reason for doing that. Well, I went down there, and that's the first time I've ever bought Claritin D in my whole life. I may have bought, Sudafrine. About two times I've bought that because of allergies and had to sign for it. Well, I give the lady my driver's license. She puts it in her computer. She says, well, it's saying that you've bought your limit. And I'm standing there feeling like I've done something wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. Well, I said, try it again. Well, she tried it again. But see, this, you get in this system, and by accident, they can ruin your life, and there's very little you can do about it. Oh, you'll eventually get it straightened out. But we live in a society where basically the government can do anything they want to. Now, every day, we hear more and more about a police state in America. We hear about a surveillance society. We hear about the government spying on you by way of drones or tracking your computer, emails, keywords, phone records, phone calls, time duration, anything like that. This is all very, very bad. This is all destructive to your liberty as an American citizen. I want to read just a little bit. I've got a few minutes from a article from the U.S. Journal, and it's on in the July edition, and it says America's surveillance culture. I want to read a little bit about this, and you think about what it means to be being watched by your government all the time. Are you truly at liberty when the government is watching everything you do? This is by a man named Brandon Smith. He said, surveillance is the act of removing transparency from one person while operating under a veil of secrecy yourself. Surveillance is a one-sided exploitation of cultural violence, like a street mugging backed by ideological rationalizations. To be able to invade the life of another human being at will, to catalog his hopes, dreams, and weaknesses, to put yourself in a position to judge him from a discreet distance or undermine his future entirely. This is what surveillance is truly about. Make no mistake, mass surveillance is not about safety, it's about power. It is a means of enslavement. He says, when a government chooses to assume the role of watcher and godlike arbiter in the affairs of the citizenry, there is always a specific motivation, and that motivation is usually self-preservation. Government elites spy on the public because they have done or are about to do things that will trigger resentment and rebellion within the population. They keep tabs on us because they fear what we will eventually do to them. They watch us because they plan to hurt us, and they want to be sure they get away with it. There are no other reasons for random, sweeping infringements of the public's right to privacy. There is no other rationale for treating every person as a threat without warrant, without legitimate judicial oversight, and without probable cause. Now, we are living in a day and time, and I'm stopping right there. I'm saying this. We're living in a time where you are guilty until proven innocent, not the other way around, like was set up by our founders, that you would be innocent until proven guilty. And by the way, that's the Bible principle as well. You are innocent until proven guilty. But in a surveillance society, everybody is guilty because they're watching you. They're watching everything you do, everything you say. You are a candidate for guilty, being guilty. And you have to prove your own innocence. Well, he said, only criminal governments desire the legal authority to remove the barriers of personal privacy because only they have something to gain through the action. America as a society is at perhaps the most dangerous crossroads faced by any nation in history. We must decide right here, right now, if we're going to embrace absolute government intrusion on a technological level never seen before by man, or if we are going to fully revolt against it. Well, he goes on down. He says the surveillance machine only moves forward. It never stands still, not for anyone, not for anything. And so he goes on. It is a great, great article. I wish I could share the whole thing. But what can we do about that? This is bad. Wherever there is invasion of privacy, your liberty is gone. That's where we are in America. We're at a very dangerous crossroads. Well, what do we do? Well, number one, you need to wake up to the danger. You need to realize this is not a good thing. You need to realize what is at stake. Liberty, your liberty, physically, mentally, spiritually, personally, the phone calls you make, the friends that you have, the place where you go to worship. All of this is at stake if we keep going down this road in America. There is no end. Well, the Constitution was to further our blessings of liberty. Thank you for listening today. Pray for our nation. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.